así.
4K. Fantasy. It's a war. It's a war.
End up like sounding like the entry of the beginning music to Battlestar Galactica, like.
Why don't we just do like? Why don't we do super classic Star Trek a cappella, like?
What's the actual lyrics? It's like love across the stars, something like that. I used to know the theme to fucking Star. I used to know all the lyrics.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, I found something awesome when I went to my folks' house to grab some items.
Star Trek hero clip?
It's a Star Trek Search for Spock movie booklet.
Ooh.
That was signed by Scotty.
Ooh, nice.
Personalized to me.
Jimmy Doohan. Did you ever see the original, Trekkies?
I have, yes.
Where it's like they get Jimmy Doohan being interviewed and that girl who's like all suicidal, and he calls her up and he's like, "Hello there. This is Jimmy Doohan.
It's
Scotty." It's like, I want Jimmy Doohan to call me up. Well, she...
You have to threaten suicide.
He's dead. Well, he's actually... His ashes are in outer space right now.
Maybe he'll come back to Earth just for you.
He'll come back.
No.
So anyway, before we actually get started, welcome to Game Classy.
Gay for Kings of War.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what this episode will be called. It'll be called Gay for Kings of War. I'm your host, Joe, and with me as always is Fanboy.
Fanboy?
That's your new nickname.
Screw you.
Joe and the Fanboy.
Nah, that's bullshit.
Joe and the Fanboy here at Morning Game Classy Radio.
That's bullshit. You're more of a fanboy than I am.
You're a way bigger fanboy.
Nah.
You're
a way bigger fanboy.
You're just like, this game looks good, cling to it. This game looks good, jump off of that game onto this game.
I think it makes me kind of like some sort of opposite of a fanboy.
Yeah, it's very
true. Fanboys, like, they grab something and they never let it go.
They never let go.
They're like, 40K is still good, random psychic powers are okay. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be the best game ever. You're gonna bow to it.
I'm not, this will be a no 40K podcast. Because we already talked about 40K. The rule set was released. Yay!
Yeah.
Well, actually, it hasn't been released.
Yeah, it's up for pre-order. It's pre-order.
Yeah.
They're 1 week pre-order.
Pre-order and pre-come. Both the same category to me. Just like something that's not necessary.
Yeah.
You could take it. Go ahead. she was like fucking Indiana Jones trying to take those keys. But I did want to start a new little thing. It's called fan mail.
Fan mail?
We got
fan mail?
We do have fan mail.
What? No way.
Yeah. This is from...
Does it say, "You guys are idiots, I hate you"?
Pretty much.
Nice.
So, this is from Mike. This was posted on the Planet Arbitrary, on the actual page that we...
On the Planet Arbitrary page? On the Game Classy page?
No, the Planet Arbitrary website.
Oh,
so this, yeah, if you want to put it, you can just put
this
it on
This is
there.
An actual reply to the podcast.
Yeah,
nice,
Mike said, "You guys are amazing. You riff harder than anyone out there. This is the most entertaining gaming podcast I've found, and I've listened to a lot. Keep up the great work. Looking forward to the next one."
Oh, man.
I masturbated to that, like, 6 times.
I am rock hard right now.
I was like, oh. 40K! Fantasy! Kings of War! Kings of War! So there.
Well, thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
We're now doing this exclusively for you. Because you're quite possibly our only listener.
No, there's more, but I wanted to at least read one.
Oh, there's more? Holy shit.
But they're on different places, so I decided to find them all.
You gotta get those things
centralized
together.
No.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll look it up while we talk about this. But we have a lot to talk about this week. We have to make sure we hit D&D next, because that got cut off in the last podcast.
Yes.
All of it did.
Stupid.
I know, it was bad.
Like, hang on, wait. I'll emulate what it sounded like. What happened to me?
Pretty much what it sounded like. It was more like...
Maybe the audience just needed to deal with that. We were fighting a Rancor.
I was like, this is ridiculous. Why would he have a Rancor in his basement? Yeah, so I want to make sure we talk about that because you were. It was pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah, I'm still hyped about it.
As well, you should be. And I also wanted to make sure we talked about the Kings of War Kickstarter because that's all you've been fucking talking about.
Yeah, deal with it.
It's like Kings of War. there's just a couple other odds and ends things. One thing we can talk about really quick first is that Gen Con news, Games Workshop's going to Gen Con.
Yeah, well, it's kind of crazy.
I was like, and this was the weird thing about it. I tried to get in contact with all my old GW guys that I know that worked in the touring place. They're all gone. They've all been fired or left the company. So I couldn't get a straight answer about any of it.
Who did I ask? I asked someone at the bunker, I think. And they confirmed that it's happening.
Well, yeah. Well, I talked to Timmy.
Well, I think the simple fact is Games Workshop was like, wait, there's a bunch of idiots going to a place together to spend a shit ton of money? We could have our product there.
Well, I think it's more, this was kind of the consensus I got, was it's probably going to be more of like the Black Library and Forge World guys as opposed to like the old, how it used to be where they would set up the big table and they'd do like a 40K mega battle or they'd do like demo games and then they would interrupt the entire like process by doing a giant WoG in the middle of the...
Oh man, can you imagine Gen Con with WoGs? That would be awful.
No, that would be a bunch
of... I mean, I'm one of the idiots who's going to Gen Con.
There'd be like a guy dressed as a wizard going, this is uncouth. My father, this is ridiculous.
Your orcs have guns. That's stupid.
I want to see some guy who's offended by the fact they put fantasy creatures into science fiction. He's like,
elves with lasers and tanks. Oh my stars!
The guy this cannot be. Yeah, he flips the table.
He can't handle it. He's like, what? Because he sees a space marine and he's like,
that guy is pretty neat.
The Imperial Guardsman. That's cool. The Tau.
Well, that's kind of got an anime feel to it. Neato.
Then he looks.
Wait. Is that an orc and an elf?
It's okay.
And a dark elf?
Man, it's okay. It's they're not orcs. They're orcs with a K.
This is the worst thing ever.
Hold on, those aren't elves either. Those are what we call the Eldar. The
light of the Eldar. That's clearly fantasy.
Table flip, or he takes the orcsy Eldar and he just puts his hand and he's like
this is what I think of this part of your game
and shoves that off the table. takes the space marine and he's like,
I like this guy.
And he'd be like, I will use the flame of Ithunun to burn this plastic. Four damage.
Sir, your light up sword is in the way of our demo table. Yeah, so they're going to Gen Con. It's interesting.
I find that I'm kind of glad about that because maybe the Forge World line won't be as crazy because they're not doing Forge World anymore. Orders at your at the bunkers.
Yeah, bunkers, so which, they're done.
Yeah, which kind of sucks. But then again, how much Forge World am I buying? I'm not buying that much.
Yeah.
But anyway, so let's get on to D&D next. I know this isn't going to be quite as spontaneous as spontaneous.
Spontaneous?
Spontaneous, that's the word I'm looking for. Spontaneous.
Spontaneous.
Spottle rocket.
A spontaneous bottle rocket.
Spottle rocket. From Whammo.
This podcast is Spottle Rocket. That's Wizard, Annie.
That's Wizard. Oh, I feel it in my bones. But anyway, D&D, because this all got cut out, and Steve was talking about what he really likes about D&D Next.
Yeah, D&D Next
So is... go ahead and give your spiel while I look up something.
All right, D&D Next is more of a throwback to the old school feel of AD&D. The original Dungeons & Dragons, more so than any other edition. Like
more so than AD&D's Advanced Dungeons & Dragons.
It's more like Dungeons & Dragons, Advanced Dungeons & Dragons, Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition in terms of its flavor and its feel.
Okay. As opposed to D&D 3, 3.5,
Pathfinder, or 4th. Yeah. Like, 4th was a fucking video game. 4th was a video game with miniatures. That's
That's all it was.
Well, especially because they had the plumber cast. And
well, yeah, I mean, and clearly it got kind of weird when they added that one race, the Hedgehogians. And they were really quick, and they had to use gold rings to survive.
You have a level 30 Kirby after you. It's using inhale. Inhale was very effective. Wait a second, this is Pokemon.
So, D&D 4th was a video game. There was, yeah, I was just, I could go on. This is not about why D&D 4th is bad, so I'm just going to cut that short. I'm going to say it was like a video game, and it sucks shit. 3rd edition, 3.5, Pathfinder all have essentially too many rules. There's too many rules, and there's too many rules that suck.
I think that's kind of the downfall of most games.
Yeah, well, the thing is
they have rules that they suck.
The game got, like, overinflated with rules, like feats.
Yeah.
The problem with feats is, like, feats, when you first see it, you're like, wow, that's cool. I can customize my character in an interesting way. But when you actually implement them, you don't customize your character in an interesting way at all. There's a best-in-slot feat that you always take. It's like, oh, well, you're playing a fighter, so you're this campaign's probably going to level 15. This is your list of feats. Take those every time.
Yeah, you can. And then you would never, like, it's kind of like a problem with any, I don't want to say min-maxing, but any game that can get competitive.
And there's garbage feats. Yeah. There's feats that are literally
and that's
terrible.
Like, it's like magic items in Warhammer. It's like, there are certain ones that you always get. And that's what makes it kind of bullshit, is like, why are they giving me this entire list? I'm never going to take any of these other ones.
Yeah.
Because I might take them for, like, a fun game, but then you have to rewrite your entire list, and that's just bullshit. So you end up, you know.
The thing I do like about Fantasy's magic items is that they have, it's pretty much about the shared magic items now.
Yeah.
Where everybody.
But that's what, I'm talking like old. I'm talking like 6th and 7th.
Oh, back in.
6th and 7th edition.
Oh, yeah, 6th. What was it? Was it the orcs? I think the orcs had, like, the biggest list of magic items.
And you only took, like,
and
two
the most shit.
Yeah.
There was, like, this one you always take was a banner, and then this one you probably take, one of the clubs for your characters, and the rest of it, you throw in the trash, because everything else is beaten out by
the... You're an Empire player, you're going to take the Crown of Command. No, not Crown of Command.
The Mirror of Stats, which
is... That's Van Horsten Speculum for your wizard. You'd also have the Silver Horn, which I believe just auto-rallied, and then you'd have, like...
Griffin Banner.
Laurels of Victory and the Griffin Banner.
Yep.
That was it. That was all you took.
Yeah, every time.
I know those four magic items by heart, because you take them every fucking time.
Every time.
Yes. Anyway, continue.
So that's from, you know, 3.5 Pathfinder, and they all have that. And then, next, kind of just scales it back. Armor class isn't, plus, armor doesn't give you a plus your dex modifier, plus something else anymore. So
yeah, like, you were before, saying that it's like...
If you wore scale mail before, you got plus 4 to your armor class, and you could add up to plus 3 from your dex. So plus 7 to your armor class. Armor class base is 10, so 17 is your armor.
Yeah, that's a lot of math.
And then you can...
I don't need that much math.
You can also make it mastercrafted or whatever. Maybe get, like, an extra point
master
here
blaster?
And there. Yeah, make an extra point here or there. There's a bunch of ways to modify it. And then, like, if you have an item, it changes and adds to it. In next, scale mail gives you an armor class of 14.
Yes. And that's it.
And then it gives you half your dex modifier.
Ah.
Because it's medium armor. So...
Oh, that's right, because you were saying, like, they change it up. It's more, like, light, medium, heavy.
It's light, medium, heavy. If you wear light armor, your armor class is set to whatever the armor is, plus your full dexterity modifier. If you're wearing medium armor, your armor class is set to whatever it is, plus half your dexterity modifier. And if you're wearing heavy armor, your armor class is set to whatever the armor's armor class is.
Yeah, you don't get any of the dexterity crap.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, because you would think that a person who has light armor, who has, like, wicker armor on, is going to be able to move faster than the person who's wearing...
Yeah, and he's going to be trying to incorporate dodges into his...
Because a dwarf, you know, cleric isn't going to be sitting there wearing leather armor.
And he's not going to be trying to cartwheel out of the way.
Yeah, he's not going to be doing that.
No one passes a wall.
Ka-chunk, 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 ka-chunk.
And then that's going to keep armor classes down.
Down, so that way combat actually can be interesting.
Combat can be interesting, quick, and all monsters can remain usable to any level. Because if everything, the only thing that's really going up about the characters defense-wise is their hit points and saving throws.
Yeah.
The armor class is staying the same.
Well, dexterity can increase as well.
Well, you can increase your stats, but that's not...
But if you're wearing, like, mail, like, heavy armor, your dexterity doesn't factor into it this time, so
exactly.
It doesn't matter.
So, they're creating a system that's going to have a little bit more longevity in terms of the combat. You're not going to outgrow enemies.
Yeah.
Because if you're, say, level 1 to 4 campaign, you can use level 1 to 4 monsters, period.
Kobolds, you know, goblins, yeah, wolves,
and
rats.
A goblin is, you know, goblin's trash.
Humans.
He's a goblin's trash. He's going to die in one hit. He doesn't do a lot of damage. But a goblin's threatening to a level 1 character.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you, you know, a D6 damage, that adds up. And yeah, can possibly kill you if your stats are really low. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, if your stats are low enough, you'll die in... Possibly. It's pretty hard to die from one shot.
Yeah, but we understand that. Yeah. Those little level 1 to 4 are still threatening at a 1 to 4.
Yeah. And then at level 4 in like 3-5 Pathfinder, at level 4 a goblin's jump. You're just like, yeah, whatever, out of my way, I'll kill you. And they can never hit you.
And you can't, it also leads to your players going like, oh, I don't fucking want to roleplay around this, so just kill them.
Yeah.
You know?
And your AC's already high enough generally because you found some items, yeah, or whatever, that goblins can never touch you, so the DM never uses items, so the world kind of stops making sense, in my opinion.
Yeah.
In next, because armor classes are static, you just, if the encounter is heavy on goblinoids, hobgoblins, bugbears, goblins, you add more goblins, yeah, to the fight. So yeah.
Oh god, it's a horde of goblins!
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, a horde of bugbears.
It's 20 goblins and 6 bugbears.
What was I saying? Bugbears are like one of the stupidest things in fucking...
Bugbears are awesome.
No, it's the owlbear. That's what it is.
I think owlbears are cool too. I don't know.
Ooh, roar. That's like, what?
That's terrifying.
It's Woodsy the owlbear.
That's terrifying.
Give a hoot, die. I'll pollute the woods with your bones.
And you become an owl pellet. An owlbear pellet.
Owlbear pellet. You dissect one of them, it's massive. Yeah. You're opening up, oh, look, inside here there's an entire goblin.
But you add, you know, you have 20 goblins and 6 bugbears.
That would be great to put it, by the way, great to put into a, like a campaign, is like you come across a giant owlbear pellet and you dissect it to find, like, magic
an NPC. Yeah. You're looking for an NPC and you find him, and you find his tattered robe and, like, his special ring, and you're like, oh, eaten by an owlbear. That sucks. Owlbears are nasty. They do a lot of damage.
Whatever. It's stupid. It's a bear with an owl.
Maybe I don't think that they're that dumb because I know of the real dumb D&D monsters.
That's true, too.
So I'm just got like a flumph. Like, I'm kind of just...
Yeah.
Like, oh, flail snail.
Flail snail!
Oh, if you see, you know the flail snail? It's a giant... Yeah, yeah. For anyone who doesn't know the flail snail, it is a gigantic snail, and its eye stalks... and inflates, and it spins its eye stalks around to do damage.
That's amazing, though. Yeah. That's funny. Like, an owlbear, but he just seems like a poor man's griffin. Like, what's a griffin? Oh, it's a fucking lion with an eagle attached to it. It's half eagle, half lion. Oh, two of the greatest predators in the animal kingdom.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Owlbears look really
sweet.
What's
an owlbear? Well, it's part bear, part owl.
Oh,
that's not as cool as, like,
it's
part
more like
eagle.
It looks more like a feathered bear with a...
With a beak. Yeah, I'm aware of it.
I mean,
yeah,
it's cool.
They have no wings. They can't fly. Some of them can't.
Yeah,
I've seen owlbears.
I think it's all right.
Okay,
but owlbears, since owlbears the classic,
yeah, they're so classic. Old,
there's been
monster.
Many revisions of the owlbear too. So like when you first see the owlbear, like all the Dungeons and Dragon monster art is very cheesy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like you think about the
Gygax was like drawn in his basement, like this is gonna be badass.
It's an owlbear.
Yeah. They're getting high. They're like, we need to have a new monster. What do we think?
You know what would be fucked up? If the guy got eaten by a giant cube of Jell-O.
A Jell-O cube. I'll write that down.
Gelatinous.
That's
cube.
Good.
We can't use Jell-O. Bill kind of like, you can't do the Jell-O.
He pops in.
Monsters.
He's like, hey, kids. I see you designing D&D. You can't use Jell-O. That's a trademark.
That's like using a Pepsi beholder.
They will say gelatin.
Gelatinous.
Yeah, that's what I figured. That's how I figured most of the D&D monsters grow up. Just Gygax is what he's getting stoned in his basement.
I think it was more of Gygax tripping on acid and then seeing like a fat role player and just like, ah, it's a gelatinous cube!
Maybe that's how he came up with the idea for the Beholder.
The Beholder.
It's like someone just like poked their head downstairs and you just see that and he's just like, my god! It's terrifying.
Because can't use the Jell-O with the cube.
So it's you can use a lot of monsters. They remain fresh. Monsters have a new thing. When you kill a monster, a lot of the monsters have a thing called Monster Part now, which is kind of like a reward for killing that specific monster. So a fire beetle, they have their fire gland. Yeah. That's how they produce flame.
Yeah.
If you kill them, you get a torch that lasts for 3 days.
Well, this is what we were talking. This came up last time, and I thought it was kind of cool. But it seems like almost like a modern revision. It seems very much like a World of Warcraft thing, because like when you kill, let's say, a swamp toad, you get the swamp toad tongue.
Well, that's the thing. It's modern game design and philosophies into the old school.
It makes more sense than, oh, you killed this beetle.
Gold pops out. Gold. The Diablo syndrome. It's just like, why was this scarab carrying a magic sword?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. I mean, Warcraft still has that, too, where it's like, all of a sudden it's like, you know, you kill their bugbear and it has, like, cloak of invisibility. You're like, what?
Exactly. Why is there a cloak in this dog? I don't get it. With the exception if you found an owlbear pellet, maybe there's a magic item in there.
Yeah, but that makes sense. Maybe that's what it is. Every time you, like, kill something, you're getting the
and
poop.
And you go into its poop, this greatsword fit in that chipmunk's ass!
You go into its poop, and whatever it ate happened to go into
that's
poop.
The worst. And then some of them range. They're pretty cool. Like, I said, the fire gland being the torch for 3 days. Sweet. The Gorgon, or Medusa. If you kill Medusa, you get to sever her head. And you can carry the head around with you, and it gets one petrification attack. Mm-hmm. And then it just dissipates into, like, dust and snakes.
Yeah.
That's awesome, because then you're like, you kill a Medusa, which is a difficult fight, because it's got a save or die effect. Like, it looks at you, you fail the saving throw, you're a stone.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
What about my Polish shield? What about the shield of Harry Hamlin? Can I use that?
I think the...
you got nothing to say to that Clash of the Titans, motherfucker.
I like Clash of the Titans. Zipper Hoot Hoot. Fucking robot owl.
No, it wasn't Hoot Hoot. It was,
fuck that thing. Whatever it was. I hated it.
Oh, God, what's the name of it?
Archimedes?
No, Archimedes was the real owl.
Oh, that's right. That was Merlin's owl.
Yeah. Oh, the Sword of Stone.
Anyway,
Bubo was the name of the owl.
Bubo. Mirrored Shield. If that was something your character came up with and had a legitimate reason for coming up with, not just you using your personal knowledge.
Yeah.
I think there's a specific rule for reflecting the mirrored shield back at it, but I would give you, like, half XP because it makes the fight a joke. But you get a reward because you don't risk petrification because you're like, fuck!
Fuck this shit! Fuck,
get behind the shield!
I don't want to go see this fucking Gorgon!
Yeah. So, I mean...
By the way, this just popped up on the internet. I think it was yesterday, but it was the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon. If it was actually, like, being role-played at the time. So what they did was they took out all of the soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
And they just had, like four or five gamers, like saying with the stuff for each character.
Yes.
But there was one where it's, like, the old wizard guy. Dungeon Master shows up. Dungeon Master shows up, and the one guy goes, this is bullshit. You gotta roll for these NPCs. I don't have enough of this Dungeon Master bullshit. And the Dungeon Master's like, hey, you can leave anytime you want. you gotta roll for these NPCs.
It's fucking awesome. That show was terrible and great at the same time.
It was. Then Tiamat shows
Cavalier.
Up.
Yeah, they fight Tiamat. The kids beat Tiamat.
Well, Tiamat shows up, and they're just like, what? Again? You gotta come up with someone different. Anyway.
I believe the unicorn?
Yeah,
Unine. They're like, fucking unicorn, so stupid. Yeah.
Fun times.
Monster parts are cool.
Yeah, and you were saying, like, but this is like their beta test, right? This is just like
this is a beta. It's not completely finished yet.
And of course, as we know, betas are never the finished.
They got rid of dump stats.
Dump stats.
Yeah, dump stats are when you take a character, in Dungeons & Dragons, you have stats. Strength, dexterity, constitution, wisdom, intelligence, charisma. And normally, if you played a character, you would focus on one to two of these stats and completely ignore the rest. Now, you would put, like, bare minimums in them so you don't have penalties. Obviously, charisma is the fastest one. People are just like, I don't care about charisma. I'll just make that an 8. Who cares? And then, like, I don't need intelligence because I don't need skills for my character, so I'll make that an 8. And then I want the 18 strength, 18 dex, and 18 con. Yeah, I'm a fighter. In this edition, you take saving throws based on your stats, on every stat. So all of your tests are based on your attributes. So the attributes are really important.
Yeah.
And all of them are.
So you want to balance it out a little bit.
You want to have a fucking balanced character. And the rules will make you balance your character. Because if you make a min-maxed guy, this first time you have to fail a ticket charisma check, you're at a -1, and you're just like, well, you're hosed, buddy. Sorry. You know, you have to test charisma. You have to test all the stats, which I like a lot.
So
that's a big change.
If I was building my a halfling character, which you knew was going to show up in this podcast,
the halfling pie thief, obviously,
Jobo the hobo pie thief.
Jobo the hobo pie thief,
halfling hobo pie thief.
He loves the hobo life.
He loves his hobo life, and he loves pies.
He loves pies,
and that's why he is leaving the Shire to seek out more pie. That's the reason why he left the Shire.
Exotic pie.
Exotic pies.
Exotic
pies. Pies of all different types.
Because, I mean, the Shire is full of pie. More pie is not acceptable, but exotic pie?
Yeah, it's like he's looking for boysenberry. They don't get boysenberry.
What about fish pie?
Fish pie. Mmm. Love fish pie.
Chicken pot pie?
Chicken pot pie. Eel pie.
Eel pie.
Lamprey pie.
Lamprey pie.
Yeah.
All ass pie.
Ass pie.
Mud pie.
Mud pie.
Cream pie.
Mmm. So it... all these wonderful pies!
Oh, the fuck is this? Go to Baker Square.
Get a French silk. Oh, it's delicious.
That's so good.
Fuck TMI.
Get the custard.
And inside this owlbear's pellet is a pie. I'll take that.
It's fresh.
That happened.
It's steaming for some reason.
So that there are halflings in this new edition, of course, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. See? Halflings. People like halflings, Steve.
No, they don't.
I still think it's the funniest thing when you're like, you tell your game group, like, you're like, all right, you guys can summon everyone, and all three of them were like, we want to be halfling. You're like, God damn.
No. I normally ban halfling and gnome, and the group was like, halfling, gnome. I'm like, fuck! Why did I ban them again?
So my halfling could. Are all the classes still there? Like, you got, like, fighter.
Currently, there's just the base. There's no specific.
Oh, there's
rogue,
yeah, okay.
And wizard.
Cleric, fighter, rogue, and wizard.
Yeah, that's currently the only classes.
Human, elf, dwarf, halfling.
Yeah, that's currently the only races.
Okay, so there's the four. Okay, so it's really getting stripped back down to...
That's probably not going to be permanent.
No, I'm sure... Well, because, I mean, the fourth edition had some stupid... Like, dragonkin. Who the fuck wants to play dragonkin? That's bullshit.
They're dragons with tits, though.
Well, who cares? Everything's got tits.
I mean, yeah.
Everything's got tits. It's got the tits, tits, tits.
And then,
Rule 34, D&D is not pretty.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you ever wanted to see a beholder, really give it to an owlbear. It's probably out there.
Where did that penis come from?
Actually, one of my favorite beholder miniatures is from Reaper.
Yeah.
It's a big, nasty beholder. Looks very cool. But if you turn the miniature around... It has an anus.
Yes.
It clearly has a giant asshole.
Well, I'm sure it would.
With the anal ring around it, and you're just... I was looking at him like, this guy's cool. I'm turning around. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Well, I'm currently...
That's no spot for a flight stand.
He'd just be looking up. I don't get it. What's up with this mini? I'm actually working on the Skaven rat wolves for Golden Demon right now. Wolf rats, some Forgeworld. They have anuses as well. Anuses and testes.
Nice.
Yes, so you get the whole...
Forgeworld's a fan of doing the balls.
They're a fan of balls. I'm working on my other one, which I'm working on, is Bruckner. I haven't decided if I'm going to use that one or not.
Does Bruckner have big balls as well?
No, but the Demigryph has gigantic balls. They're bigger than a high elf's fist, mind you.
You know why? You know why they're fans of balls? Because Games Workshop... refuses to sculpt female miniatures.
Yeah.
They're like, nothing can have a vagina.
Nothing. Vaginas are bad.
Yeah. It's like, well, what about maybe one model in the entire army? One model. That's the most.
And they have to be a wizard.
Yes.
She has to be a wizard.
No combat fighting
maybe
females.
Maybe they've never seen a vagina, so they're like, they saw a model with a sculpted vagina, and they were like, what is that? Is that a flight stand?
Is the flight stand over there?
Is the flight stand? Why is she flying? Why is she flying, guys?
The worst. That's why I like Privateer Press. I think the most out of like the sculpting, because they have a very good mix of like female characters.
They do. They have a lot of female stuff going on there. My biggest complaint about Privateer Press is that the sculpts are blocky. Like everything feels like really big. Like, almost, like, bigger than, like, 5th edition fantasy, which is... Everything was, like, gigantic.
Yeah, Predator Press is really exaggerated.
Yeah, they're really... But it doesn't bother me too much. But it's part of the whole feel of it, because everyone's wearing big, bulky armor.
Yeah.
Micro-armor. Fit it in every 10 minutes. Anyway, so
that Diesel Punk look. Just big.
That's your kind of review on D&D Next, so...
There's even more.
There's...
Yeah, I can keep going.
I don't want you to keep going.
All right.
Yeah. Because I want to talk about your Mantic Kickstarter... we've talked a lot about Kickstarter on the podcast. We've talked about Ogre. We've talked about...
Ogre.
We've talked about that. We've talked about Studio McVeigh with, I don't know what it's called, like, Battle for Alabaster.
Sedition Wars.
Sedition Wars, Battle for Alabaster, which is a really silly name. But beautiful minis.
They're nice. He's also a big fan of sculpting balls, but he also likes the cock as well.
Well, who doesn't?
Well, I mean...
The demigriff's got a big cock.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, nice. It's got the cock, it's got the sheath.
Nice. You gotta green stuff a little pink tip and then give it the hot rocket.
Yeah.
That would score you a lot of points with the judges.
Well, especially one judge in particular.
Yes.
But...
You know what you could do? Oh!
I'm not doing the shiny coat.
Nope, I've got a much better idea for you.
Gloss varnish thing.
Mm. Breeding at the Imperial Zoo. You have two demigriffs, and you set them up, you chop the balls off one of them, you sculpt big demigriff vag, and you have the big demigriff mounting her, just like railing her, and you have you sculpt a mage-like character with a big gut,
yeah.
And you have him with his like robe kind of half up over his gut, and you have him just working his navel with his middle finger in his right hand, just like... Give it to her.
No. And then you have a big throne with Carl Franz looking at it, and it just says excellent.
Yeah, for sure. So Carl Franz...
His fingers, like, his fingertips touching. Yeah. Like, or maybe he presses his pinky to his lips.
Yeah, and you have Carl Franz on the throne watching the griffins bang, and then the handler with the finger just knuckle deep in the navel, just like, yeah, give it to her, old bean.
People are just like, what? The little kids, like, parents are like, just cover your eyes.
Just
Danny,
think of the water effects usage.
Yeah, the water effects. That's what I'm saying. Clear coat.
Yes.
Just cover your eyes, Timmy. It's not right.
Just
not
saying
right.
That.
This is a wholesome hobby.
Tell that to the booby snake. Tell that to the snake with six tits.
That doesn't exist anymore.
It's still around.
All the boobs are gone in GW.
Nope. There's still the tit snake. The one that's mounted.
It's no longer sold in the stores.
Oh well, yeah, it's on direct. All the metal ones are though.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's
they're trying to hide their past.
Should embrace it. Embrace the six.
I want
snake.
Special edition Belcor with a giant cock.
Giant cock.
The barbed cock.
Giant cock. Anyway, but yeah. So anyway, going back to what we were originally talking about. Manic Games, we talked about that a little bit. They got a Kickstarter, and I like Manic Games. We talked about them on the podcast before.
When we were talking about inexpensive miniatures.
Inexpensive miniature replacements for GW.
Yeah.
And so they've decided to go whole hog and decide to be their own game, so to speak.
They're really going
Kings
for
Kings of War game. Is its own individual game now. You can still use the models to replace GW stuff, but they kind of want...
And vice versa, actually.
Yeah, and vice versa.
They encourage that a lot.
Yes!
Well, that's the one thing I thought was very interesting about Mantic. So far, the only tournament that has ever had a models restriction rule is the Mantic Clash of Kings tournament. They're running two. They're running one in the UK and one in the States at Adepticon in 2013. That's the only tournament I've seen where they have a miniatures Mantic miniatures requirement. 25% of your miniatures can be other company points wise, but the rest has to be Mantic. That's the first time I've ever seen that, because normally every Mantic tournament it's just use what you want.
I think, it's...
and I understand. Well, I think it's because there's a big cash prize, and they want to take lots of pictures.
I also think a lot of it has to do with that. They still have several races that don't have an army yet.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a whole human army that doesn't have... There's no human figures.
Yeah, and I think there's probably an in-depth FAQ about it, about the point restriction, especially for that case. And then for, like, the Dark Elves. The Dark Elves are...
Bills.
The Dark Elves are... They only have a few... They have three units, and...
Twilight Kin.
Whatever. they have...
I love you, Bella.
They're fucking Dark Elves. They have three units and one or two character models.
Yeah,
they don't have their complete list. And I think they'll probably make exceptions.
Yeah. But they have some...
They've got to make concessions.
And they actually have... They have two new armies coming out. One is a goblin army.
They have more than two.
They've previewed. The goblins.
The goblins are very cool.
The goblins are really nice.
I like they have the Froud look.
Yeah.
With the long nose. And, you know...
Froud look. Look at you.
What?
Bringing up some 80s fantasy art.
Dude, Brian Froud. They have that look.
You know what? That's like
dense magic. Dense.
He's like one of those like second tier like fantasy art people that like you occasionally will bring up. Like it's like. You know, it's like you got Franzetta and Vallejo, or the two. Franzetta, Vallejo, Julie Bell, and then it's like occasionally someone brings up Brian Froud.
Well, I don't think Froud is second tier so much as he's just. He only does like goblins and fairies.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like that one, like.
He's not even part of the tier system because he doesn't do the whole range. He's like a specialist.
But what I'm saying is like when you say fantasy art, people think of, you know, Boris Vallejo, the guy with the huge fucking.
They think of Death Dealer.
Yeah, Death Dealer.
They think of Death Dealer, one where he's sitting on the horse and he's got the ass.
Hildebrandt's,
and he's looking straight. That's the number one most recognizable piece of fantasy artwork, and I want it on my car. Actually, I want it on all of my cars. I want to put it on every vehicle I ever own.
All your Land Raiders.
Death Dealer.
You paint them Death Dealer. No, but then you got like the Hildebrandt's with their J.R.R. Tolkien artwork that looks ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
But then it's like, yeah, you have them, and then like every once in a while someone brings up, like, what about Brian Froud? Shut up, Henson fanboy.
So the goblins are cool looking.
He should have went to the hospital.
So bad. There's this Kickstarter.
And they have the Celestials coming out, which is an angel army that has nuns and stuff. Looks really cool.
This is one of the first miniatures games, standard miniatures games I've seen on a Kickstarter. Because I've seen a lot of, like, miniatures board games or box sets.
Like, Studio McVeigh did that, and that was about...
And there was the Deep Sea one, the one that's all underwater, which is cool looking.
Oh, the SpongeBob SquarePants mini game.
But it's called Into the Depths or something. Yeah. It's actually pretty sweet looking. It's got kind of like a retro feel for like there's like divers versus monsters. It's cool looking, but it's a skirmish game.
Yeah.
This is the first full scale game I've seen.
Yeah.
Which is really cool
because I mean that's a good way to get funding for a game.
Did you see their goal was 5,000?
Yeah.
They were like, we need 5,000 bucks so we can. Accelerate the release schedule. Yeah. That's all we want to do. We want to get these miniatures, a couple more miniatures out faster, it'll probably be 300,000 before the day is out.
Yeah, but they kind of started off and they were just like, okay, well here's more stuff.
Yeah,
and here's more stuff.
Yeah, they keep going and they're like, oh shit, there's so much more stuff. Here's another goal. Here's more. Take it.
Yeah, now they got 300,000 for it, which is pretty cool.
Yeah,
I like it. I like them better as an alternative GW source. Like, now that they have their own game, I'm starting to be like,
Well, I really want to see what the third edition rulebook has in store.
We got an update on it.
Oh, 322,740.
That's what they're currently at.
That's current, with 2 hours to go. 1,450 backers.
Wow, that's not bad.
It's good.
Yeah, and since, of course, Steve is one of those backers.
I am.
And he's going to get... What army did you decide to get? Or what are you getting?
Undead, Abyssal Dwarves, and
Abyssal.
Dwarves.
And what was the other one?
Dwarves.
Dwarves. Are you getting full armies, or are you just getting units?
1,000 points of each of those.
Huh,
and then on top of that, I get 9 werewolves or 6 werewolves, a bunch of the... Like, there's so much free shit, I can't keep track of it. It's like... There's
and if you don't mind, how much was that? Well, I'm sure they could look if they wanted to, but how much was that you gave to the Kickstarter?
400.
400.
Yeah.
So you did 400, and you got a shit ton of stuff.
It's a metric shit ton.
It's a metric shit.
And it's two hardcover rule books, 2 electronic copies of the rule book. Because I did.
Well, you went in with someone, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, I went. Yeah. I did 2 pledges. So one pledge, because if you separate your pledges on Kickstarter, you can hit double stretch goals.
Ah.
So I did one in one Kickstarter account, so I got the full amount of stretch goals, and then one in another Kickstarter account, so you get the full amount of stretch goals twice. So I basically doubled on my rewards.
Yeah.
Because I was looking at the higher reward levels, like, what if I just put the money together and went to the higher rewards? And the rewards were nice, but they weren't what I was looking for.
Yeah. You're going to get your name in the rule book, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah.
I am. It's going to be sweet.
Yeah. There you go. You can look at that. Yeah.
Well, it's going to be cool. And they have, the new units that are coming because of this. There's werewolves and mummies for the undead. There's gargoyles for the Twilight Kin and the Abyssal Dwarves. There's Brock Riders, which are dwarf slayers on kind of these, like, badger things.
Badgers.
Because, yeah, they're cool.
Honey badgers? Are they on honey badgers?
You could paint them like honey badgers. Ooh. And you can just say, honey badger, don't give a fuck.
And then you could beat from 2009.
I think that was actually 2011.
Was it a 2011 thing?
Yeah, I think so.
I thought it was earlier than that.
I don't know.
It's old meme. Old meme is old.
Memes are old in like 5 seconds. Like, as soon as they're discovered, they're
except Milhouse, because Milhouse is not
Milhouse
a meme.
Milhouse is not a
meme. Which is a meme.
So there's the Brock Riders. There's a cavalry for the elves. There's a cavalry for the Twilight Kin. There's the Celestials. There's the Angels. There's the Battle Gnomes.
That's the one
paladins.
Thing I was like... battle knights. That sounds badass.
And the paladins.
And the, yeah, the paladins don't do shit for me. I like, if angels and battle nuns, now that's something I could get behind.
And they're doing Kev as well.
Are the angels right to Kev?
I don't know.
It's like the Flash having a motorcycle. That doesn't make any sense.
There's just some trolls, ogre army.
Yeah. And now
fuck, they're doing so much shit.
Now, this was just, I like it. I don't like that they're kind of branching out in their own game world, because I have a feeling, and I always feel like that's the first step towards failure for a game company.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, they're doing really well on their own. You know, all of a sudden they're like, we got our own game now. I'm like, fuck it, it's done.
Well, I mean, the rules have been around for a while.
They have been. And it's like,
this is the thing I like about this, because this is the official launch of the game.
Yeah.
But this will be their third edition of their rules.
Yeah.
And like, they're actually launching. But Mantic is one company, they're kind of like Privateer Press. They listen, and they do shit tons of playtests.
Yeah.
They're very open to changes.
I'm not arguing about the rule set. It's just, like, for me, it's like every time I see a fantasy sci-fi game, with the exception of Privateer Press, because I was guaranteed positive that was going to fail.
Yeah.
I was like, I love everything about it, but I'm like, this can't stick around. This is going to fail horribly. But it's like every other one, like Chronopia, Legends of the Five Rings, Rackham.
Oh, poor Rackham. Yeah. Well, Rackham was their own... Rackham spelled their own doom with their pre-painted plastic trash.
Oh, awful.
And they shrunk the Wolfen. Yeah. Like, they took their best miniatures range, and they're like, we are going to shrink it down.
We're
going to
make them smaller.
And we're going to paint them like shit and put them on circle bases. Like stupid Americans will buy them.
Well, yeah, and that, and then you can name off all like the other numerous science fiction ones. You can Warzone, Void, Vor, the Maelstrom.
Yeah. Well, I think these guys know what they're doing, because they're all ex-workshoppers.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's why I think Privateer Press is bigger, because they're all ex-workshoppers, too.
Well, that could be it, too. And as I said, my one complaint is that I don't think the miniatures are good enough to warrant me playing their game. Does that make sense to you? Like, I like their
miniatures. I think they're a little function over form.
Yeah.
Because they want you to be able to build your miniatures quickly, get them on the tabletop quickly, you paint them quickly. Yeah. Everything is designed for...
Quick.
They want you to get playing the fucking game fast.
So, playing the fucking game.
So they have a limited amount of sculpts in their regiments. There's like five. I think the highest one is eight.
Yeah.
Eight sculpts. Because most of the figures are two-part models. They're not...
Which I appreciate as a gamer.
And but that's the thing, with the with the exception of this Clash of Kings tournament, if you want to play Mantic, you can use whatever army you want.
Yeah.
From any fucking company.
Well, yeah, I mean, I like that the two-part models. I think that's really cool. And as opposed to like what GW did 10 years ago, where like certain models were like 9 pieces and they were a bitch to put together.
Oh yeah.
Scary. But they've gone back to...
Fucking tails.
They've gone back to it being, like, you know, 2-3-part models. Like, there's been a pendulum swing back towards the more simplistic design.
Workshop's not doing that.
Yeah, the new Skaven box set... I'm only saying this just because I've just been playing with it. New Skaven box set is... Each model is 3 pieces. No, not even. It's 2 pieces.
No, it's not. It's more than that. It's got to be body, head, arm.
No, new Skaven box set is head and...
Oh, wait, starter box?
No. This is, like, the actual Skaven clan rank.
Okay.
Is hand weapon. It is arm, shield, body, with the head attached to it.
Okay.
The Storm Vermin are a little more complex. Those are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 part.
But I wouldn't say that's the company as a whole swing back. I'd say that's just...
6 part, actually.
I think that's just making Skaven accessible.
Well, yeah.
Because they're like, we want to sell a fuck ton of rats.
God damn it. No, but, like, a lot of the models have been going back towards that. I mean...
I think that's good.
I think it's great, too. I like the idea of... You can do simplistic with variation. It's not hard.
The last miniatures I actually bought fantasy from Workshop were the Chaos plastic characters. And I bought them because I think they look very nice, and they're also, like, really fucking simple to put together.
Yeah.
There's no variation. It's like buying a metal miniature, but he's in plastic, he's on a sprue,
They're fantastic.
Yeah.
That's what I like. And that's why I like I'm attracted to Mantic, because I mean we've been in the hobby for a long time.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of fucking armies. You've done a lot of fucking armies, and nothing kills your desire than like building for fucking ever.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, sweet.
Which is part of the reason why I have mold lines on all my figures.
Yeah, but I mean I'm of the school of thought like if the mold line is atrocious, clean it. But if you're using it for gaming, just fucking leave it alone. Yeah. Who cares? You know, and
Dan
Delmont
cares.
And if you're one of the
dicks,
who points out mold lines at a tournament and your opponent's army is fully painted and you're playing with fucking plastic, fuck you. Fuck you in your ass. And let it bleed.
It's okay. When we play in the fantasy team tournament next year with our Empire Kislev army.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I want to do an army that's all gray, but it's painted. I want shades of gray. So we're going to paint it up to look like plastic.
50 shades of gray?
We're just painting it up to look like plastic.
Oh, I see what you're
saying.
But
it's fully painted. But you just paint it up so the bases are black and you do a little gloss around it. You do, like, gray and gray highlights.
No, we are totally doing...
The Emperor's Shiny Boys.
We're totally doing a Kislev Empire army, and you are going to be in a bear outfit. I'm going to be dressed like a Russian Cossack.
If you paint all of it,
It's already painted. It's done.
Sweet. I've got chaos.
You got chaos.
Dude, let's do Kislev and chaos.
Can you do that?
BFFs. Yeah, they're distrusted allies.
Oh, yeah.
Which means pretty much nothing, because the fantasy team tournament rules are shit, so let's just put fucking chaos and Kislev together.
We just drink nothing but vodka.
Yeah. So, the rules...
That's what we say when we lose.
So, we'll be doing that a lot. I don't think that's Russian at all.
Yeah, it is. It's on Tetris.
Is it? No. All right, fair enough. Yeah, Tetris is the most Russian thing I've ever known.
Yeah.
So,
Yakov Smirnov.
Well, yeah. Boris Yeltsin. the miniatures, right? Just like any other company, there are some minis that are poop.
Yeah.
And I found that most of the minis I thought were bad were character minis.
Yeah, their metal is...
But there's a few that are awesome. Like, one of their medals is Morgoth the Faceless for the Undead. Yeah. He's, like, kind of got this, like, energy thing going between his arms, and he's got this,
energy.
Like, bondage mask. He looks really cool.
Yeah.
Their Vampire on Pegasus, I like him a lot. I don't like the Mounted Vampire.
Also, one of the biggest fucking problems, and I say this about any goddamn army, any goddamn company that's putting out figures... Get a professional to fucking paint your army.
Oh, yeah. Actually, it's funny. You can see the armies, as they released stuff, you can see the armies get better painted.
Just get someone who knows how to fucking paint a figure. It doesn't have to be great.
Yeah.
But get someone who knows how to paint something so it doesn't look like the person painting the eyes is literally taking a paintbrush and stabbing it into the eye socket with red paint.
Well, you can see all their Warpath stuff looks much better.
Yeah, the Warpath stuff looks really good.
Because that's their newest product, so they've had they have better painters.
Except the person who did the vermin did a terrible, terrible yellow. And I saw the box, and I was just like, blah! I started punching the box. I was like, no! No! No!
So,
no!
So the miniatures...
I would paint it for free. I would paint their shit for free just to get my stuff on a box art. And now, granted, I'm no Golden Demon winning painter. I might be this year, but I'm not.
I look forward to seeing you smash.
Seeing me smash.
Yeah.
No way, man. I'm starting early. I'm fucking working. I'm going to get it done. But I would do it, and it would look 1,000 times better.
You're
going to
work super hard, and a certain judge is going to come over and be like, it's tabletop, and just knock your shit off the thing.
No, they pick it up and go, balls. And throw it down.
Throw it at you.
Oh, God, speared my eye.
The balls went right in my mouth.
I don't know how I feel about this. Am I gay now?
So,
what does it matter?
Some of the minis are, you know, shaky, but a lot of them are really cool. All of the goblins are great.
Yeah.
All of the goblins are great. All of their newer stuff looks really good, and they're replacing a lot of the miniatures. A lot of the lines getting replaced, you know, every so often. They discontinue, they update.
The Twilightkin.
I love those models.
The Twilightkin look like their base model looks really good, their weapons look stupid. That's just my complaint. Right. I just like the spears look kind of silly.
I thought they looked okay.
Maybe
it's because I'm so used to seeing the shit-tastic Dark Elves from Workshop.
Yeah,
those models fucking suck.
You have to separate yourself. Like for me personally, like I see like when I see like the epitome of sculpting. The epitome of sculpting to me was always Ragnar.
Yeah, well, obviously.
Yeah, Rackham models were just, like, you look at
them. They were the best painted, best sculpted.
You were just, like, drool would drip down your mouth when you saw Rackham models.
But Rackham's totally useless for an army-level game.
Yeah, like, as we found from their game Ragnarok.
Yeah, they tried to make an army-level game out of a skirmish game. Bad fucking
call. With the metal figures. Ragnarok, the original first edition Ragnarok.
All metal.
Whoa, was that a bad game?
Yeah, bad idea.
Like, when you think of, like, 40K or fantasy where you end up with like a big skirmish in the middle of the fucking board. Ragnarok was that times 30.
And Ragnarok was even worse because you had to do it with metal figures and there was like three different ones and they had dynamic sculpts, so trying to get the fucking things ranks to rank, you're just fuck!
Oh,
fuck!
They were so top heavy and fall over constantly.
So bad.
Oh. But anyway, that game's coming back.
It's coming back as the skirmish game, though.
It's coming back.
Who can afford those miniatures? They make Forge World look like a bargain.
They do.
Fucking Forge World look like a bargain. The biggest ripoff in the industry, and they make it look like a bargain.
According to the rep I talked to from Cool Mini, he said that when the new rule set gets released, they are going to start producing. Because right now what they do is they put out box sets of, like, so they'll put out, like, you know, one guy with, like,
oh, they're doing,
like,
it, they're doing,
like, six or seven figures together, and they sell the box set for $80.
Okay.
So when you think about it, like, you're getting a figure for $10, which is actually kind of expensive, but they're bigger, they're 35.
They're doing that to generate revenue.
Yeah.
So they're basically doing the Kingdom Death Plan.
Yes, kind of like that.
Got it.
So it's like they'll give you, like, the Drachmax Seiko and five Kelp Fianas in a box set, which is six figures, sell for $80, which is generally about $12 a figure. Kind of expensive, but when you think about it, it's not that bad.
I have an interesting note, but we're talking about Kickstarter miniatures, and I just thought of Kingdom Death because I was on there not too long ago.
The models that you say are really good, and I don't like.
People have been begging him to do a Kickstarter, and he's literally just been like, nah.
Yeah.
No, I've got this, like, this is how I had a plan, and I'm just gonna stick to my plan. You know, I'm like, that's sticking by your guns, man, because with the quality of his miniatures, I know you don't like them, but enough people like them to sell out every figure he makes.
This is the reason I don't like them, and this is, honestly, they're great sculpts, but what the fuck am I gonna do with those figures? I'm gonna paint them up, and I'm gonna put them on a shelf, and they're gonna look pretty. I can't play anything with them, because there's no game.
Yeah, there's no game yet.
They don't fit as a character model in any army I'd ever do.
There's a few you could get away with in Empire. Actually.
Maybe
some
a few.
Of the newer ones.
Yeah. Maybe the big guy with the big tongue. I can put him in a Chaos army.
And there's dudes you could fit. For your armies, not so much. With the exception, there's two of them that would work well in your Empire army. But beyond them, I see.
And that's my problem. Is like you're charging like what $20 a figure.
Yeah.
And they're nice figures.
They're very nice.
They're great sculpts. But I'm not going to do anything with them. They're just going to sit there.
All right, fair enough.
I can't do it. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I got it. So you're not so much like, I don't like this, as so much as it's like, I have no use for this.
I have no use for I'm not going to spend $20 on this when I got no use for it.
So I just wanted to point out, I thought it was interesting that he's just like, no, I had a release schedule planned. I'm just, fuck it, I'm not gonna. He said, like, maybe I'll do a Kickstarter at some point, but
okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So Mantic Kickstarter, insane deal. The rules. I want to get into the rules. All right, so we've talked about how fantasy is completely unbalanced, and and I think fantasy is a shit
game. This is actually really funny because we were talking about this outside before the podcast started, and Steve basically goes, "The rules are amazing." I go, "They're historical rules."
And I was like, well, the historical players have been hiding great rules with their shitty miniatures.
Yes. And I've been saying for years, there are great historical rules. And you're just like, man, Grognards and micro-armor.
And what was the other one you just found? Popo?
What?
Popey? What did you...
Oh, Pico armor.
Pico armor.
No, yeah, it's smaller than micro-armor.
Pico armor.
Yeah.
Wizzy wink. We gotta make a fuck. That's what we need to do. We need a display board. We need to have the three different cavity creeps: the Wizzywig guy, the Pico armor guy, and the micro armor guy.
Well, it was, and the funny thing is like when I think of micro armor guys, I think of George R. R. Martin, like the big fat guy with like the suspenders beard and the hat. micro armor.
There's just a million George R. R. Martins.
It's like, ah.
So the rules are incredible. They took all of the rules that, like, because fantasy. I was talking about how if you got rid of magic, the magic phase in fantasy.
Which I completely agree. At this point, they need to eliminate magic altogether, kind of like what they did in 40K. Put it in the shooting phase.
No, dude, 40K's got more. Well, it's got more. Psychic powers are even more ridiculous.
I'm talking like what they did with 3rd. Remember when they moved to 3rd edition and they eliminated the psychic phase? But I mean, like, even the psychic... But the psychic... like the psychic phase is in the shooting phase. That's what they need to do with magic. Just get rid of the magic phase, put in the shooting phase, make it some magic missile, maybe some offensive and some defensive buffs and magic missile. That's it.
That's what Mantic has. Mantic has, if you're your wizard has like six spells. There's the damaging spell is generic, it's called Zap. There's heal. There's movement. It's like they're generic,
which is great. Which is way it needs the magic needs to be.
And they're used as a shooting attack in the shooting phase, and you can only use one at a time, one per turn. So your
which reminds me of one of my favorite mini games, which is Hordes of the Things. Have you ever played that?
I've seen it being played.
Hordes of the Things is the most generic fantasy game ever, and their wizards are very much like that, where they're it's very generic.
Yeah, and I like that, because it's balanced. You know, and I want to. If you're playing a game, because it's the thing. There's so many people play Warhammer. When I talk Warhammer, when I talk 40K, I don't play pickup games of those games ever, because they're always a train wreck playing a pickup game. And so the only real option, the only recourse I have is to play the tournament.
Yeah.
And when I say play a pickup game, I mean go to the workshop with my 40K army looking for some dude to play. You know, I'll post that, if I post on the forum and say, hey, I'm going to be at the place, whatever. I can schedule a game, which is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just going to
the
place.
It's like you go there and you see the guy who's wearing the zoot suit who's at the pool table. He's like, I could play in some 40K. What is this game here?
Yeah.
I'll probably play for some money.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, okay, sir. And he's like, here's my Grey Knights.
Yeah.
Like, ah, fuck.
So pickup games of 40K and fantasy, always a train wreck.
Yeah.
They're generally a train wreck. Mostly a train wreck.
And it's a train wreck.
Yeah, it's a train wreck. It's like, oh, and it's a train wreck. So
it's like, this game looks like, and it's over.
And you can pretty much only play them at tournaments.
Yeah.
So you have to think of them as tournament games. And as tournament games, 40K and Fantasy are piles of shit. They're awful. They're just awful, awful games from the tournament level. Now, if somebody made, like,
They're not awful games. If everyone's playing the same army, it's actually a pretty fun tournament
game. If everyone plays the exact same list...
Which they did at Adepticon.
And no magic...
Which it did at Adepticon.
Well, yeah, obviously, because you play the best fucking army.
Yeah.
So bad. So stupid. The other thing, too, you can play. You can see an army in fantasy across... You can look across the table and you can go, well, my army can't beat that army, so I'll just leave now.
Yeah.
You know, and that's... The army's complete... There's no balance. There's totally random bullshit. The game is fun point.
The game's hysterically fun. If you're playing with a good game group, if you have a good set of people that you play with on a regular basis, you know them, you know how they play their armies and stuff like that, then you're fine.
Yeah.
You can't play, because when you go to a pickup game, generally, no matter where you go, you're going to get a Grognard. Or you're going to get
Or a douchebag.
Well, Grognard. Well, yeah, Grognard, douchebag, or like you're going to get a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
Very few people have the spirit of the game.
Yes.
Down pit. The little kid, you feel bad for it because you're killing them because they're like, well, my guy's going to use regeneration. Your guy doesn't have regeneration. Yes, he does! No, he doesn't.
He doesn't, Billy.
He doesn't, little Billy.
I glued a Tyranid claw to his head. He looks cooler now.
So Kings of War, you don't remove miniatures from your regiments.
No.
I fucking love that. That is, I saw that and I literally creamed my pants.
Well, that's always the cool thing. And I was explaining it's very similar to the Hail Caesar rules for the Warlord games, and their black powder system as well. It's very similar.
You take damage, you keep the damage recorded, and then you take break checks based on how much damage you've taken.
Yeah,
fucking amazing. Also, you don't do a single thing during your opponent's turn in King's War. Your opponent has their turn. You do fucking nothing. You don't pick up a dice. There is not a single die to be picked up during your opponent's turn, and then vice versa. Because
reverse vice.
Because if you're playing me and you charge, I'm playing my undead. You're playing dwarves. You charge your dwarves into my undead.
Roar,
you throw your chops.
Honey badgers.
You throw your chops and you've done 12 wounds to my undead. Really fucked them up. You roll my break test. Right then and there.
Roll.
And then I go, I've got a nerve score of 10. So you rolled. You got 5, 15. That's over my nerve because of, you know, plus my wounds. These guys are fucked. They're destroyed. They're taken off, too. The only thing I do during my turn is take miniatures off the table if necessary.
Yeah. And see, no, what I like...
And I love that. And you use chess clocks in the tournament. 55-minute chess clocks.
Ooh, I didn't know that. That's kind of neat.
And that's tournament system there. You use chess clocks. And Privateer Press just recently went to that.
That's a neat idea. I kind of like that.
It keeps the rounds 100% at a 2-hour or hour and a half, whatever. It keeps your rounds
flat, because there's no way to avoid it. Because if you run out of time in the chess clock, you lose.
Yeah.
The game's over. You lose.
And you, if your opponent's taking a shit ton of time, they're going to get penalized for it.
Yeah, they're going to lose because they're taking too much time. And you don't need, and that's why there's no, because there's no shared turn at all. You know, because in fantasy, if I charge you, I throw my chops.
And then you throw your chops.
And then you throw your chops. Which is one of the things that I always hated about fantasy, because if you had a bad, if you had a bad luck turn, because I mean, it doesn't matter if you're playing one of the higher tier armies, but when you're playing one of the lower tier armies, like, you know, when I was playing orcs when they were really bad, I charged in against a block of demons, you know, and my dice were duffed, and I was like, God, fuck, you know, I totally, my rolls were fucked up. And not only do I get punished one because my rolls were bad, I get punished two because my opponent gets to attack me now, ends up breaking fucking me on my turn, and runs my unit down. I'm like, well, that was awesome. That was fucking great. I should have just not fucking charged.
Well, yeah, that's part of the game, though, you motherfucker.
No, it's because his army was much better than mine.
Well, you're just a whiny baby. How about that?
I mean,
you could have rolled better. How about you roll better next time?
I mean, if I just
roll,
if I handcuffed your hands behind your back and then cuffed your feet together and put you in like a crouched position and then challenged you to a fist fight and kicked the shit out of you and called you a baby for not being able to kick my ass, I would agree with you.
Oh, little Mr. Tear. Wait, hold on, let me catch that tear so I can put it in my pen sieve and relive the memory
you
of this moment
missed,
over
you
and over
again. Tear.
You like that? You like that burn?
I did not.
No,
I was not a fan.
No, I didn't think so.
Mostly because demons were shit and they fucking destroyed a game. Like, one army destroyed an entire game. It was pretty impressive.
I have a demon army. Anyway, we're finishing close to our hour. I let us go a little bit over, actually, because we got cut off at the last one.
Yes, we were.
But so we talked a lot about Mantic, which I knew you would. Which is this podcast is going to be called, you know,
Gay for Kings of War.
Gay for Kings of War.
I'm totally gay for Kings of War.
Gay for Mantic. Mantic cock.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Mantic sexual. How about that?
Yeah.
But yeah, I really like their system. I think it's going to be fun. I was actually thinking about it because I do like the idea of just building a block.
Yes, that's my favorite part.
When you build the block and you could just take your figures and, you know, yeah, I could take like 18 guys and just glue them onto a big fucking block.
Yeah, on one base.
It. Yeah.
And then what I'm doing is I'm probably going to do tens.
Yeah.
So I'm probably going to do, you know, 40 mil by 100 mil.
Yeah.
So I've kind of got like one, like a strip, and then just stick those together.
Yeah.
I haven't decided if I'm going to be ballsy enough to do the full 20-man block in one base yet.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to do the 10s just because it'd be easier
tens
to move.
10s are fun. 10s are easy to do. That's how I do it with my skate.
Okay.
So it's
10s are easier to move. And the other thing
and they're
awesome,
easy to build, too.
And the other thing that's awesome about it is it gives you the opportunity to be really diorama, like have a real diorama going.
Maybe I'll make an army. I'll do a human army. I'll base it off of my old Legend of the Five Rings army. Make a mix of samurai humans. Play.
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a fan, and I like that. And that was because I was saying that setup is faster, cleanup is faster, gameplay is faster, because you don't have all, everything's not taken apart. Because, I mean, if you even look, they're like, people are trying to do that with fantasy now, because fantasy wants you to use so many fucking models.
Yeah.
They don't have rules that support the use of so many models, so you've got people building, like, gigantic fucking regiment bases just so they can get their fucking army on the table moving it around.
Yeah, it's...
And the other thing that's just genius... is when regiments hit, your regiment gets its full attacks, my regiment gets its full attacks. Doesn't fucking matter. You don't have to look at each guy and go like, well, technically, Joe, because of my bullshit charge here, you're only having one guy in base, but I've set it up so I've got these two guys here and then this here. So basically, I've used the rules to fuck you in the butt, and you're only rolling one die, and I'm rolling 10. So enjoy that.
Yeah.
Right in your ass.
Right. Yeah. Well... Let's just put it this way. You don't have the rule set yet.
I'm going off the V2 rules.
Yeah. You don't have a rule set yet. You don't have an army yet. You haven't played a game yet.
I actually have. I've played 3 games.
You haven't played a real game yet.
Fair enough. I played V2 games.
Yeah. So we'll find out when the whole thing comes down and you've played a couple games, we'll get your opinion on it. You know, I'm kind of a feeling...
I'm excited to play V3 because that's
you,
the hard battle.
I have a feeling that this might go down and horrible, horrible flames. Like, 2 podcasts from now, you're just like, fuck, Mantic!
I've got a feeling that...
How's Dark Age going for you, Steve?
Dark Age is good. Dark Age is good. The legitimate problem I'm having with Dark Age, I think Dark Age has got to be another 2-army system for me.
Another 2-army system.
Yeah, because, I mean, the armies aren't... There's not a lot, not expensive, but, like, it's, you know, it's one of those things where it's, like, not a lot of people play. Apparently, a lot of people play Infinity. Yeah. Apparently, Infinity is fucking huge.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's about it for today. You can always go to follow me. How does it go? Oh, go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can go to Facebook and like us on Facebook. If you like the Game Classy and the Planet Arbitrary page, it'd be greatly appreciated. You can follow me at Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at Game Classy. And aside from that,
we didn't do it this time?
What?
It's the podcast you wanna touch.
Oh.
But you mustn't touch.
You kind of did that a little bit.
Did earlier. All right.
But, so until next time,
it's always fun. If you're winning.